You know, when you think of injuries that you have incurred, you know, whether that's a broken bone, whether that's a large gash, I'm talking about something that's fairly serious, and you think about how much care and attention you give to that wound. I would imagine that, again, you cut yourself in a significant way, you're not going to, on one day, put a bandage on it, you know, take care of that, and then the next day pull it off and just walk around and, you know, let your leg bleed a little, and if your clothes get dirty, that's fine. And then a week later, you come back and you patch it up again. You put something on the wound, and then on that day, you're taking care of it and so on. But then after that day, you rip it off, and then you get the picture that I'm saying. Like, we don't deal with wounds like that, right? A day in and day out, moment by moment. At least we don't have the nurses in the congregation looking at me and say, well, I hope you people don't do that. But, that we don't do that. Like, when it comes to things of our body, we are very attentive to address those things. If we have a muscle sore, an ache, or a fever, or a cold, or whatever it is, we're very aware of that, and we're very willing to do the things that it takes to address that. Now, I create that analogy in your mind for us to think about our Christian life. Because our Christian life is much the same way. You know, if we think that maybe just because of the circumstances of life or just the condition of our existence in terms of our hearts or whatever, that things are just fine and we kind of don't need to give daily attention to our Christian lives, then we're probably in some ways deceiving ourselves. That ultimately the picture that the Bible gives us in terms of the nature of the Christian life, it's a moment by moment, daily type of engagement that we have. And there's a great picture of that in Galatians 5. And so if you turn there, where we have this picture of living by the Spirit, and in some translations it says walking by the Spirit. And so what I want to talk about this morning is this whole idea of walking by the Spirit, and again, what Paul has to say about it in this context, and then what fruit ultimately God desires to produce in our lives by doing that. And so when it says here, if you just read with me, Galatians 5, 16 through 26 to the end of the chapter, it says, So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and enmity, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. You know, ultimately, I think we all are aware, or if we're not, we should be aware, that we all have wounds in our lives. We all have things that we need to be repaired from or fix. And certainly, when we engage with those things, whether they be spiritual in nature, I mean, as I've said, the sin nature and the fact that we deal with that in our lives is the greatest wound we have. It's the greatest challenge that exists within us, keeping that crucified, keeping that dead, avoiding its influence in our lives. But also, again, the wounds that come from that, the brokenness that comes from family or relationships or whatever it might be. And basically what God gives us through His Spirit is a path and of dealing with those wounds in God's way. That ultimately, if we ultimately internalize those wounds or try to fix those wounds by the means of the sin nature, it's going to look very different than if we approach it by virtue of the Spirit. And again, it is that daily type of interaction that happens with the Spirit that ultimately Paul is alluding to here. But ultimately, the context of these verses is the larger, it's the book of Galatians, but particularly chapter 5, where in the first verse of chapter 5 here, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And so ultimately what this verse says, and then I think the life of the Spirit is really what complements this freedom, is the fact that the Bible makes clear that Christ has come into our lives to set us free. And what I'd like to ask you is, what does that mean to you? When you think of the freedom that Christ offers you, what thoughts come to mind? What does that look like for you? Like maybe even if you're in your own experience, what do you feel like Christ has freed you from? And so yes, Scott. Yep. My destiny apart from him. Yep. Freed from the person that would ultimately seek a destiny outside of him. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's a big thing, to be freed from people pleasing. See, basically, when people say something good and I repeat it, you can make it seem like I said it rather than no. I know you can't hear, so I'll repeat things. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a bondage that a lot of people are in terms of people pleasing. What else? Yeah. 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 All those negative dynamics that are in our hearts. Oh, freedom from anger and hatred and what Paul describes as the sin nature, you know, the operation of the sin nature. And you know, one thing, just in case I don't get to this, when Paul gives this picture of the sin nature, and it's all this like dastardly, dirty, evil stuff, just because you're not doing those things doesn't mean you're not operating in the Holy Spirit. I mean, operating the sin nature. Like, ultimately, we say, well, I don't operate in sexual immorality, debauchery, idolatry, or witchcraft, or hatred. I'm not that person, so maybe I don't have a problem with the sin nature. I get, like I tell you, if you're not living in the Spirit, then you're living by the sin nature. You know, in terms of pride that is in your hearts, you know, jealousy that's in your heart, different things that operate. But again, Christ frees us from all those things, all those dynamics of the sin nature. Christ frees us from. What else? You haven't actually talked about the very thing that I think Paul is addressing here, the primary thing he frees us from, but go ahead, Dawn. Yeah, but that's okay. Yeah. 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 Yeah, because again, think about the bondage that people are into that. Yeah. Free from the condemnation of the law. That's the primary thing that Paul is talking about here. When he says that Jesus Christ has set us free, it is setting us free from the law and operating according to a fleshly standard to be righteous and to be holy. Yep. Anything else? Well, you know, I think that's a pretty good picture of, again, the kind of freedom that Christ gives us. So what we have to think of as believers is, if we're not living in that freedom, again, as we continue to put ourselves under bondage to people, to the law, to greed, to pride, to selfishness, whatever it might be, understand that there is bondage in those things. That whenever, again, we confront the situations of life or the circumstances that we find ourselves, and we do it by virtue of the sin nature, that again, that is going to produce things that bind us rather than free us. And so really, the life of the Spirit and freedom are coexistent. That when we live by the Spirit, we will also live in this freedom that Christ came for and sought to accomplish for us. See, because ultimately, what the Galatians were doing is they were returning to the law of Moses. They had experienced righteousness through Christ. They experienced freedom through Christ. The fact that they don't think of their lives in terms of, again, what am I doing for God? What am I doing to make myself acceptable? What am I doing to make myself loved? Again, what I find interesting comparing life in the law and life in the Spirit is in many ways the outside life is going to look the same. You know, when you take the law and you take the standards of the law, the measure of obedience, the standards in Leviticus or in the Sermon on the Mount or whatever, a person operating in the law and the person operating in the Spirit, the outside life is going to be the same. You're both going to not say certain things, not go certain places, not do certain activities. But what's different about living in the Spirit as opposed to living by the law is the motivation is different. The power is different. I know for myself, coming from a place where I used to live by the law, what I found that life in the law always created one of two things for me. It either created pride or fear. That ultimately when I was doing good, and again, my thought of what gets me to God, what makes me love, what makes God accept me, I thought in terms of how righteous I was, how obedient I was, how much I was in the Word, how much I was praying, how much I was doing all the different activities of the Christian life. And again, when I was doing it, I would be prideful. I'd say, look at me, God. Aren't you glad that I'm on your team? You know, I would compare myself to other people and say, you know, boy, I'm better than this person. You know, and the opportunity gives for judgment and stuff like that. But then the other side of that is fear. On the other side of that is guilt. That ultimately when I'm not doing it, when I fall, when I sin, and guess what? How many times do we do that? Like all the time. And so every time I would sin, again, I would be filled with this guilt. I'd be filled with this fear. Again, if I'm thinking that the thing that makes me accepted by God is the fact that I'm doing right things, the minute I'm doing wrong things, what do I then think? I'm not accepted by God anymore. And so it was a great freedom for me to be freed from that law. To recognize that in God's grace, I have a relationship with God, I have acceptance with God, I have righteousness from God that's based in His Son, not based in me. Now again, that grace doesn't come to us so we just do what we want. Like I'm glad that no one said that freedom in Christ means I can do whatever I want. Because clearly that's not what freedom could ever mean. At least not the freedom that Christ gives. You know, I think oftentimes when we see this verse and we look at, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free, we think of that freedom in American terms. Because what does freedom mean in America? I can do whatever I want as long as what I do doesn't affect you. You know, you remember the old thing that you can raise your arms up as much as you want like this as long as you're not hitting someone else's nose? Have you ever heard that as far as the expression of, or the definition of freedom in America? That I can do whatever I want as long as what I'm doing doesn't affect you. When it affects you, now law comes in place and says, no, your freedom doesn't go that far because you can't be so free to affect someone else. But that's not what biblical freedom is. Biblical freedom isn't whatever options are out there, take them. Because the reality of the spiritual dynamic and what God realizes is that some of those options we could choose, if we could choose everything, would not bring freedom. They would bring bondage. And that's what the sin nature is. When we make choices according to the sin nature, that creates bondage in our life, whereas living by the Spirit creates freedom for us. And so again, the main point that Paul is making here is to please God is not to live by the law, but to live by the Spirit. And so basically, Paul then, after saying what he says in verse 1, from verses 2 through 15, is really talking about what you don't do. But then we'll pick it up in verse 16 in terms of what we should do. And it says here, as I've said before, I say, live by the Spirit, or what some translations say, walk in the Spirit. And I like this picture. What does that communicate to you? Like when you think about walking in the Spirit, like you think about the picture that provides for us, what does that mean to you? Like what does that look like? You're side by side with Jesus. You're walking with the Spirit. You're walking by the Spirit. Yeah. What's that? Sermon. I mean, different actions that would be consistent with that would look like that in terms of... you know, again, both what we do and why we do it. Now, I think that's absolutely true. Go ahead. Holding thoughts captive. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. See. To me, walking is a picture of consistency. It's a picture of progress. It's a picture of moving forward. I mean, one thing to notice, if it doesn't like jump out at you, is when it says here, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, it's a clear proclamation that the best defense is a good offense. That ultimately you walk by the Spirit, you again have that progressive dynamic direction and progression in terms of the Spirit, and you won't gratify the sin nature. That again, I think oftentimes as believers, we do the opposite a lot of times. We wake up in the morning and we're confronting our lives and we're saying, okay, don't sin today. Okay, I know what the Bible says about this thing. Okay, so I'm going to take my thoughts captive, or I'm going to not think this. I'm not going to do this. Here's the thing that I struggle with. I'm not going to gossip today. I'm not going to lust today. I'm not going to be greedy today. I'm not going to be prideful today. And we orient our lives to sin, about what we won't do, or maybe what we will do in the flesh. So what the Bible is telling us here is, again, giving us a picture of walking by the Spirit in terms of this daily, moment-by-moment, progressive, intentional process that we're in. See, going back to, you know, maybe it's a little bit of the wound thing, but like if I told you, walk by your thigh muscle, all right? Say the instruction was, walk by your thigh muscle. You know, you do that all the time. Like, no one would need to tell you, walk by your thigh muscle. But what I do know is if your thigh muscle was hurt, if your thigh muscle was injured, you would be very conscious of the fact that I'm trying to walk by my thigh muscle because my thigh muscle hurts. So now I need to be intentional about how I'm walking because my thigh muscle is hurt. And that's why that analogy to me just speaks volumes, because how aware are we when we're not walking by the Spirit? You know, how intentional are we? In other words, if our spirit is hurt, if our Christian walk is not functioning the way that God would intend, I mean, no wonder in some ways that we're gratifying the sinful nature if we're not walking by the Spirit. Like if we're battling the sin nature and continuing to lose those battles in our minds and our bodies, or what our eyes are doing, or wherever it might be, well, guess what? What Galatians 5 says, if you're not walking by the Spirit, if you don't have this vital, engaged, intentional, progressive dynamic of the Spirit operating within you, then guess what? It's almost like you're gonna gratify the sinful nature. So when all of a sudden you deal with a situation and anger comes up and hatred comes up and discord comes up and what are these other pictures that come up here? Immorality, impurity, and discord, and jealousy, and fits of rage, and selfish ambition. All those things rile up as you're dealing with different situations in your life. Well, guess what? That's a sign of where you are in terms of walking in the Spirit. And so just understand the Bible does give us several kinds of pictures for living the Christian life and what the Christian life looks like. Well, this is one of them. I think this is one of the ones that kind of should be etched in our mind. Like when you wake up in the morning and you think, okay, what's a paradigm for me to live by in terms of how I think about my Christian life? Some people think of it in terms of putting on the armor of God. I'm going to put on the armor of God today, and that's a scripture and a concept and a paradigm that's etched into the mind. And that's another good one of those good pictures. But another one is this whole idea of walking by the Spirit. Again, just looking at the progressive, directed picture and the effort and the consistency that is involved in that. And again, being aware when that's not functioning well in terms of how we are engaging, how aware are we of the disruptions that happen when the Spirit is not working, we're not walking in the way that we should. See, I think that, to me, walking in the Spirit starts with recognizing that the Spirit lives within every person who has believed in Jesus. You know, that ultimately, if you have believed in Christ, then the Spirit is within you. So in some ways, before you can even walk by the Spirit, you have to understand that you have the Spirit, that the Spirit is within you. You know, I talked about this a little bit last week, and that's why I think that it was wise to kind of do a message that kind of expanded that thinking, where if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we have to think in terms of the Spirit. We need to think in terms of what things we could expect to be in our hearts. You know, I think part of the reason why Paul gives this list in terms of here are the dynamics of the sin nature and here are the fruit of the Spirit. I don't think what Paul is doing there is giving us a standard of law. I don't think he's saying, here's the acts of the sin nature, so don't do this. Okay, so therefore, don't commit impurity or debauchery, idolatry. When you see these things, avoid those things. And when it comes to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, yeah, do those things. Try and think joyful thoughts and loving thoughts. You know, I think that at some point, there will be choice in terms of us having the Christian life produced in us. But I think more so, rather than those things being given to give us another law, because again, if we look at the here are the acts of the sin nature, now go and don't do those. Here's the fruit of the Spirit, now go and do those. If we engage with these principles like that, in some ways we're putting ourselves back under law. But rather, what I think it's there for is to show us what things are in our lives that are riling up within us that we want to encourage and what we want to discourage. So in other words, when I am engaging with a situation and impurity or hatred or dissension and factions and drunkenness or orgies or all these different things come up as I deal with how am I going to solve my life and this is what I think, well, what does that show me? I'm not walking in the Spirit. You know, what power, what energy, what influence is kind of operating in my life? It's not the Spirit, it's the sin nature. So I think it's first and foremost there to give us like that red flag, to give us that indicator of like what's in your heart. But you know, let's not just talk about the bad news or the bad things, let's talk about the good. If ultimately you're engaging in a situation and what comes up in your heart is love and joy and peace and kindness and gentleness and self-control, and that's what's riling up, that's what's raising up in your heart as you're dealing with things, well, guess what? That's the sign that you are walking with the Spirit. That's a sign that that fruit of the Spirit is being born within you. And so again, it's more to what I call is identify the voices in your head. You know, because I think all of us would admit there are voices in your head. I mean, I would hope, or the natural dynamic that would happen as you're, Brian's considering that, are there voices in my head? I think all of us would agree that when we're faced with various situations, really both are there. I mean, the classic picture of the devil on one hand and the angel on another, that's a pretty fair picture of what goes on in my heart. I'm not sure about yours. That ultimately, when I'm in a situation, again, something comes up where an expectation isn't fulfilled, or like it's something that offends me, or I'm challenged by in terms of how do I do this, or this person has hurt me, or whatever. And at that moment, two things rise up. Okay, I'm going to respond to this in anger, I'm going to respond to this in hatred, or jealousy, or discord, or I'm going to operate in love, I'm going to operate in joy, I'm going to operate in peace. And I think that part of what the descriptions are here for, so that as we're engaging with life, we can see what's in control of me now. And when the things of the sin nature are in me, well, guess what? I can know what I'm controlled by. And so therefore, now what do I do to crucify that? See, it's not even so much, first and foremost, choosing against it. It's killing it. It's recognizing that it's already dead. It's recognizing that thing in my life that would rise up in terms of the sin nature really is an easy thing for me to defeat. Because ultimately, the only thing that can give that power in my life as a believer is my will. Everything that comes from the sin nature, the Bible says, is crucified to me. I'm dead to it. And so therefore, the only thing that can give it life is me. That I choose to give it life. And again, that's a very inconsistent aspect of, again, just this positive dynamic of living by the Spirit. That I'm seeking to walk in the light. I'm seeking to have fellowship with Jesus. and in terms of that. But again, I think it starts with just understanding that that spiritual dynamic is within me and expecting that the fruit of the Spirit is going to be there. That as I negotiate through life and I live my life, that like I shouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden I would normally react in this way according to the flesh, but the thing that's in my heart is love. The thing that's in my heart is like, it's okay if you say to yourself, where in the world did that come from? Well, you should say that that came from the Spirit. Like we should, on some level, we shouldn't be surprised. Again, like I'm proposing, we should believe that it's there. Like, Holy Spirit, what do you got for me here? Like, where is the love? Where is the joy? Where is the peace? Where is the patience? I see the sinfulness. That's right in front of me. Here's this opportunity for me to respond to a situation. All this stuff is riling up in terms of the sin nature, all the anger and hatred and discord and jealousy and all those things. Like, is the Spirit there? Like, if I'm going to, again, intentionally walk in a progressive, intentional, effort-laden, directedness life of consistently considering God and thinking about Him, again, where is that Spirit's influence? And I would say if that is distant, again, if that spiritual life doesn't come, doesn't rise up, then we really need to think about in terms of our lives, what are we nurturing in us? What are we building up? You know, the classic picture that I've heard, and I'm sure many of you have heard, is kind of what dog are you feeding? You know, in other words, if you have a picture of two dogs, and one is the sin nature, and one is the Holy Spirit, and you're feeding the sin nature, well, guess what? And not feeding the Spirit, well, guess what? The sin nature is going to grow. It's going to get bigger. It's going to get angrier and meaner and more powerful in your life. So now again, when you think about that classic situation where now you're in the midst of something, you know it's coming down the pike, or again you're surprised by it. Someone cut you off on the road. Or you thought you had a job and then you don't. You know, you thought you were healthy, then you have a doctor's appointment and you're not healthy. Again, the things that surprise us. And now, where do we go? What thoughts are there? And if the thoughts there are not Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, like, we'll admit, both will be there. They'll be, I'm going to be afraid or I'm going to have joy. Both, it's a natural dynamic if both are there. What is more powerful and influential, again, is going to be determined by which of those dogs you feed. I suppose right now what I'm talking about is if that stuff is really distant, like, boy, you know something, it's the sin nature stuff that comes up way more naturally than the Spirit stuff. You just have to understand that there's a baseline, almost pre-development thing you need to do to be able to walk in the Spirit. In other words, if the Spirit is not, and the spiritual dynamic is not built up in your heart, where now that fruit is distant, where again the thought of, there's no way I'm going to think love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control in that situation, not with that person, you know, not if I was confronted by that thing, if that's distant, then again, we really do need to decide, what am I doing? Like, am I trying to mature? Am I trying to build it up? Am I trying to be more Spirit-led than flesh-led? Because, again, there's a clear path of how to get there. And again, if that spiritual dynamic is not there, then it really does come down to being in the Word, doing those things that feed that Spirit. You know, and to me, the Word of God is the most essential part because, again, the Holy Spirit inspired that Word, and it makes sense to me that Word that He inspired would also be the thing that fuels Him and empowers Him in our life. But I think it also does come down to prayer and fellowship with believers, and we'll talk a little bit about that in the context of the names of God, kind of unpacking some of those spiritual dynamics in our life. But again, if you see this picture of, again, we're confronting a situation and it's sin nature or it's Holy Spirit, just how aware, how conscious are we that the two dynamics are there? And if the Holy Spirit is weak in the presence of the sin nature, then just understand there's things in my life that I've developed to make that so, and there's a path for me to take to change that. And so therefore, again, the whole thought of living, of walking by the Spirit, again, I think at first it has to do with believing the Spirit is there. And then secondly, it does come down to, as I'm engaging with different circumstances in my life and situations that I confront, looking for what the Bible here says are its fruit. Like, I believe, Holy Spirit, I believe you're there. You know, when I read in the Bible and think about what kind of things does the Spirit inspire? How can I distinguish the Spirit's voice? Well, guess what? The Spirit brings love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. So again, looking for those things. And then at that point, I think, again, it's still part of walking by the Spirit. I do need to make a choice. And again, we're not going to get around the fact that our will has to be engaged to produce the Christian life. But again, as I gave that picture of a wound, as I gave that picture of, like, how do you manage physical sickness, physical injury? Again, that's a moment-by-moment, day-by-day thing when you deal with the brokenness in your body. Well, really what I'm talking about now is, how do you deal with the brokenness in your spirit? How do you deal with now functioning more so in the sin nature than you do in the spirit? Again, if the picture the Bible gives is this progressive and directed and constant walking by the Spirit, to what extent am I engaged in the process? Like, if I'm not even engaged in the process, if I'm not even thinking, like, this is a path I want, then I guess you'll never find it. You'll never bear what God would ultimately want you to bear. You'll never be the person that God would want you to be. See, you might be good. Don't get me wrong. You might be true and have integrity and be honest and be pure, all those things, but it won't be pleasing to God because it will be part of flesh. See, we just have to understand, when it comes to the sin nature, when it comes to our flesh, there is this evil, insidious, sinful, wrong part of us. And then our sin nature can also produce good. You know, think about Satan. Satan is the father of lies, right? Dastardly and destructive and mean and evil. But what does he picture himself as? He's the angel of light. He's your best friend. You got a problem, I've got a solution. That's a picture the Bible gives of Satan, but that's also the picture that I think we can understand about our sin nature, that our sin nature will produce goodness as long as that goodness is apart from God's power. So the only thing that pleases God is what God produces. Don't miss that. Like, if you ever think you're ever bringing something to God that's only about you, look at the thing I did, God. God said, that's filthy rags to me. Your righteousness is filthy rags. Now come to me with something I've developed in you that can glorify me, because God can't accept anything that's outside of his power. So again, the sin nature might produce a life that looks like the Christian life, but it won't be empowered and it won't be motivated in the way that God would want. And again, it's this whole idea of walking by the Spirit, living by the Spirit. Again, the consistency of what that communicates to us in terms of our life. let me just read the from 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, these things the law cannot produce, and you won't get in trouble doing this. That's what I think, that against such things there is no law. That again, law can't produce it. And again, if you went in front of a policeman and was loving, peaceful, and kind, they're not going to give you a ticket. I'm sorry, that's one count of being kind and nice in public. There's no society. I think what this says is everyone understands that these are the kind of things that it's good for us to be. If you said, my goal in life is to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, no one would disagree with you. Everyone would be on board with that. But again, the question is how do we get there? It's the fruit of the Spirit that can bring that. Again, the expectation that it's there, the awareness that's there, looking for it, choosing it, and then living out that life. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And so again, this consistency of life, the consistent pattern of step by step with the Spirit. I mean, it's an amazing picture of, again, God within us producing the life that pleases Him through flesh, through us, through our bodies. And it's interesting how it closes here in verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. You know, those are some of the things that we mentioned here as far as what Christ frees us from. Because, you know, those are the tendencies, like when you're not living in the Spirit, those are the things that you can't help but operate in. The conceitedness, provoking other people, and envying them. Amen? Let's bow and let's pray. Father, we thank you that you even give us the capacity to live in the Spirit, to recognize that God is within us. Particularly as we've been looking at the names of God and looking at all the power and glory and majesty and authority that's in those names, and to know that that God, the I Am, the self-existent one, lives in my heart. And Father, to think about the power and the influence that's there, the daily attention that that requires to foster and develop in my life. And so, Father, I just pray for all of us. We would just be continually doing those things that feed that nature, feed that dynamic within us, and also look at those things that we do that ultimately feed our sin nature and avoiding those things. And so, Father, I just pray that more and more we would be people that are walking and living by your Spirit. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we do pray. Amen.